Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes! Welcome on in to Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm Zach Blackerby, and it's pretty much everyone's favorite day of the week. It's a Ferg Friday with the one and only Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, man. I am good. First thing I want to ask you about is a post that you put up earlier this week. I believe it was Monday's story about Nehemiah Pritchett.
Yeah.
He came up on yesterday's show as far as, you know, talking about predicting like who will lead in interceptions and things like that. And we both thought Noah joined me, and we both kind of thought that was he was a good pick for that, Nehemiah Pritchett.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his stats last season, going to the advanced numbers, not only was he one of the most productive cornerbacks in the SEC, he's one of the most productive cornerbacks in all of college football.
Yeah.
He's a guy that didn't give up a ton of receptions, and when he did, the receptions were pretty short. He didn't give up a lot of yards after catch. He's just a really disruptive cornerback. This was something that around the 2019 Outback Bowl, a lot of guys were talking about, hey, Nehemiah Pritchett, watch out for him. That was something that Javaris Davis and Jeremiah Denson said, this guy's going to be kind of the next one up. And he hadn't played a ton.
Yeah.
But I think they saw in him a guy who's really physical. There was a lot of comparisons to him and Carlton Davis. It's kind of like, hey, he is a long corner that's going to disrupt.
Super Bowl champion Carlton Davis to you, sir.
Absolutely. And he's going to be a guy that just is really disruptive. He's going to use his length in a good way. And we saw that last season. There were a lot of teams that didn't really throw the ball quite as much at Roger McCreary.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a lot of traffic, and in that lot of traffic, he was one of the best cornerbacks in the country.
And we talked about him a lot last offseason before we really knew a whole lot about him. It's like, this guy backed up Noah Igbinoghene for 2 years. It's like, okay, this is kind of his chance to, you know, he's the next guy up. And then a few weeks before the season started, Jalen Simpson like emerged out of nowhere. It's like, oh, is he the number two guy? We didn't see that coming, but over the course of the season, like, I think it's clear which one of them was more productive.
Yeah, and Simpson had that injury in the Kentucky game that kind of threw him off, but they found different ways to get him on the field. But yeah, I think Pritchett did a really good job with his opportunities. I mean, in pretty much every one of these advanced categories, if he was not first in the SEC or not, you know, top two, he was behind only Patrick Surtain, and he's
pretty good.
He's going to end up being the number one cornerback in this upcoming class. And is a prodigy at playing cornerback. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very fascinated to see where this goes next season for him. And he's another one of those just success stories for Auburn in scouting and development, where it's, you know, he's not a highly rated guy from South Alabama. He's very similar to Roger McCreary's kind of background, you know, being down in Jackson. And it's like, all right, I know what the rankings say. I know what, you know, the coaching staff is like. I know what the rankings say. This guy's better than, you know, other people are giving him credit for, and he's already proven it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see the way the cornerbacks were used changing at all under Derek Mason and then being coached by Zach Etheridge? Kevin Steele ran a lot of bump and run on the outsides. In fact, when they went zone, they were significantly worse in pass coverage. Do you think that's going to be something that you see continuing on with this new regime?
I think they'll probably lean on man, but they will mix it up a lot with zone.
Do you think they'll be better at zone?
Well, Roger McCreary, there was a stat from Pro Football Focus the other day that said over the last two seasons of college football, I think Roger McCreary was the second best zone corner.
Really?
It's just they didn't do it a ton, and, you know, it's just one guy, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's capable of doing it. I'm just interested in what the other corners and the safeties do behind him. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of mixing up because
zone's going to be tougher on the safeties than in his corner. I mean, corner, you just kind of got that outside of the field. You can use the sideline to help you. Yeah.
And so the thing with the Derek Mason defenses is that be prepared for anything. It's very much like Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo's offensive philosophy. They're going to mix up. They're going to do a lot of different things. So I think when we go to from with the pass rush and the defensive fronts are set up to what goes on in secondary, you know, the Kevin Steele defense was, and it was awesome when it worked, and it worked for way more time than it didn't work. It was, hey, we're going to rush four, have seven in coverage. We're going to do a lot of you said bump and run coverage, have two guys over the top.
Yeah.
And it'll work, but you knew it was coming. This defense is going to be more of they're going to mix things up. They're going to change things up. And I think having that secondary where you have Pritchett coming back, you have McCreary coming back, you have Simpson coming back, you have Smoke Monday at safety. That's an experienced group of linebackers, you should be pretty solid in pass defense next season.
The three corners you just mentioned that we've talked about so far on the show, do you think all of them will be on the field at the same time?
Well, I mean, it would be interesting to see who goes into nickel next season with Christian Tutt not being around. Ladarius Tennyson is
that officially done?
I believe so.
I mean, nobody's like reported that he's coming back.
I believe he's still in the draft.
Yeah, like, can he come back? Because he signed with an agent. Like, I don't really. That's been a weird story so far.
It was a weird saga, and I think it was pretty much confirmed that he was not coming back to Auburn.
Sure.
Ladarius Tennyson was a guy who got a lot of run there last season. Tremendous upside with him. Yeah, I think you need three corners, and Simpson, you know, with the way they ended up playing last year. You know, Simpson got in a little bit once he came back from his injury. They kind of had to move it. That game against Ole Miss where they basically ran him at linebacker to kind of float with the way Ole Miss was playing offense. Yeah, I think I'm very curious to see who they put at nickel, who emerges at nickel. But anyway, you slice it, you need three reliable cornerbacks at the SEC level.
Looking at what Derek Mason did at Vanderbilt in his stint at Stanford, did he run a lot of nickel?
Yeah. And the nickel,
you almost have to at this point.
Yeah, nickel is the base defense now. I mean, it's like, I want to say in the NFL now, it's like almost 80% of the snaps are with the nickel on the field.
Sure. And then it's like third and two and less.
Yeah. In college, I think it's even higher at this point, especially with the teams you have to play in the SEC. So, yeah, you're going to see a ton of nickel. You're gonna see dime. You're gonna see a lot of different variations of things.
What did he do with his defensive front when he put more DBs on the field? Did he take them off from the linebackers? Did he move another down lineman to, you know, four guys on the line when they put more guys back? What did that look like?
Usually a linebacker gets sacrificed there. You switch between a three or four man front and kind of play around with your edge rushers.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll look like linebackers. Sometimes they'll look like defensive ends. Yeah, but yeah, basically usually you just kind of sacrifice a linebacker to try to get back in coverage. It's usually something akin to like a 4-2-5 or a 3-2-6 or something like that when you switch in this kind of system. And it's just going to be a matter of, you know, who has their hand in the dirt right at the point of the attack. And it could be anybody because they like to move guys around.
Yeah, Auburn's corners, and I'm going to lump Tennyson in there too, just since we're talking about corners and nickels here. They're all going to be good at playing close to the line of scrimmage. So there's going to be a lot of versatility there.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a ton of versatility. And there's some young guys at corner that we haven't seen a ton of yet that have really, really high upsides. I mean, remember Marco Domeo?
Right.
Is one to keep in mind. Eric Reed's gotten a lot of – now, some of these guys could be safeties and corner. Like, there's going to be a lot of mixing things up going on there. But they went out and got another JUCO corner. In this cycle, so there's going to be a ton of depth at that position, and I'm very curious to see how they make it all work.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn, the one place that we trust throughout the Locked On Podcast Network for all of your online betting needs. You know it. It's betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA and college basketball, the NHL, they're all going full speed, and then, of course, baseball is right around the corner. BetOnline even covers reality shows. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Locked On, LOCKEDON. No spaces, all one word. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer joining us on this Ferg Friday. So what's been going on at the site these days?
Well, this week kind of threw us all for a loop, right? You know, you come in and say, okay, it's going to be another standard week. You get a Tuesday night basketball game. You
right.
Got to build around that. And then I was like, no, actually, you're going to get a Thursday afternoon basketball game, question mark. And then I was like, no, you're not getting that either.
Right.
So I had to mix it up a little bit. You mentioned the Nehemiah Pritchett story on Monday. On Wednesday, I broke down every one of Auburn's scholarship receivers and just said, hey, here's what they brought to the table last season. Here's what they look like for the future. Here's how they could fit into a Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo offense. We did a mailbag because, again, we thought we were going to be writing about basketball on Friday.
Right.
Did a mailbag podcast episode on Thursday, Painter and I. We went, I think we went like an hour and a half on that one. So there's a lot of stuff in that. Some really, really good and fun questions. More football than basketball than usual, and then some just general nonsense at the end. But, yeah, you can check that out if you're a subscriber. $6 a month, $60 a year, auburnobserver.com.
Yeah, interest in basketball right now is definitely dropped off. I don't blame anyone.
Yeah,
but
it's like up and down. You get it like right at the game. Like right at the game, people will get and winning cures everything. You know, if they're winning, people are clicking on it. But when they win in that little rut, you were like, all right, how can you write about this team that people are going to care about? And we'll see. I think I'll have a basketball story by the time you guys are listening to this on Friday. There will probably be a basketball story up
sure.
on the site as well.
I mean, can Auburn ever get to the point as a fan base where, like, the interest is actually equal with football? I mean,
no.
I mean, what would Bruce have to do in that scenario? Because I know a lot of people want to say, you know, Auburn is a basketball school, and I think it's pretty close to that.
Yeah.
I really do. But as far as just interest and, you know, talking with folks where you can look at downloads or you can look at clicks on things, like, mm-hmm. the interest isn't there. I mean, even with their Final Four run, like they had that 2-week stretch where like everything that you did Auburn basketball was absolute gold. But outside of that, like there's still like you may care about it, but you don't read or listen to things about it.
I go back to the time period when Florida was winning national titles in basketball and football as well. And football was still the king there. So like I think it's always going to be that way because it's that big of a cultural spot. I mean, if you look at it in major college basketball, the number of schools that play football, and you would say that their football program is equal their basketball program is equal or exceeding the football team in popularity, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of even schools that are really, really good at basketball. So I think it just needs to continue to grow and grow and grow. I think it could get to a point where it is a sustainable machine in terms of popularity, but that's probably going to take, you know, a national title, maybe another Final Four run, just consistently getting deep in terms, winning some more SEC titles. I think
more guys in the NBA.
Yeah, that'll always help. So it's funny to see it because it's taken a lot of hard work and time to get to this point. But if you look big picture wise, this is still early in the Auburn becoming a basketball school kind of renaissance.
You're right.
I should say, like, and even back when they were really, really good in the 80s and the 90s, football was still the king there. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's going to be consistently just kind of build on it and build on it and try to upgrade on some things that you haven't done before.
I mean, I'm really excited to see, you know, in a decade from now when we look back at this time period, like this has been really, I mean, the last few years have been like a golden era of college sports, mm-hmm. or for Auburn sports, excuse me. And I know some folks will roll their eyes at that because, like, football hasn't won anything. But when you look at basketball and baseball and, you know, we just had got to watch an awesome run with softball that a lot of people really cared about. And mm-hmm.
baseball won the College World Series.
Yeah, and it's been an amazing era for Auburn. And if Harsin can help get this program to the next level, I mean, you talk about being elite in the top three sports, like that would be crazy.
Yeah, and it's something that not a lot of teams have that luxury with. And I'm not an Auburn baseball expert by any means, but like getting into the point where you are going to the College World Series, you are one of the top teams in the SEC, which is so hard to do. There's not a whole lot of teams like that in college. There was a conversation that somebody was having the other day. I was actually talking to my brothers about it. Somebody brought it up on Twitter. It's like, hey, Auburn has Charles Barkley, Bo Jackson, and Frank Thomas. Is there another school that has a sports big three that can kind of...
There's not.
Can kind of compare. And I had a hard time coming up with anything that could even come close to that. And I think that shows you something, right? Like, I think that shows you that not only is the history there, but there's also potential at this point because you can go to the last decade and, you know, Auburn went to a national title in football. They
right.
went to a Final Four in football. They went to the College World Series in baseball. You went to two College World Series as a softball team. We've seen heights from other programs as well. That's building an all-around thing. And Auburn fans love to, especially when they compare themselves to Alabama, they love to kind of poke out their chest and say, hey, we're not Alabama. We care about all of our sports, and it's not just a football-only thing. And to get to that point – And to continue building that point, you got to get better in everything. And I think several programs on campus have gotten to that point.
Yeah, I love the everything school thing. I think that's solid branding that Auburn's done.
And look, I mean, like, Florida did it for so long, and it's what they're still known for, even when their basketball team's not what it used to. Their football team's, you know, getting back there, but it's not what they used to be. And they still have that identity, though, and they still have that branding that they come in the front of your hand. It's like, Florida, they're going to be good at everything.
In any sport, whenever you see Florida coming up next on the schedule, you're like, oh, that's going to be tough. I don't care if there's not a number next to them. It's still going to be a tough game.
There is not a sport that you can pull up where you see Florida on the schedule and you're not thinking, oh, they're going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Ferguson joining us. This is Locked On Auburn. Let's take a second and talk about the best-tasting protein bar ever. They've got new flavors out. People are absolutely loving them. They've got a flash sale going on for their coconut puff bar. Luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow, and it's made with premium college protein blend. 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 6 grams of sugar. It's gluten-free, preservative-free. It's a limited time only sale going on right now. So head over to BuiltBar.com to check all that out. And of course, they've got all other kinds of flavors that are very good for you, high in protein, low in calorie. It's fantastic. BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your order. That's at BuiltBar.com. Justin Ferguson, final few minutes of this week's Ferg Friday. I got to ask, I know you had such a good relationship with Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cool to see him kind of having fun down in Orlando.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great move for him. The man loves coaching football. Like, people ask, you know, what is he going to do all day? You know, what is he going to do, you know, with all that money? So many people would say, hey, I'm getting this much millions of dollars to not work.
I wouldn't work.
I ain't going to work. This man's wired differently. He has been a football coach his entire adult life.
Yeah.
And it's what he loves to do. I'm glad he got an opportunity to bounce back this quickly and get a good job. I mean, that UCF job,
it's a perfect fit.
That UCF job is better than a lot of Power 5 jobs.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think it's gonna be a really good fit for him there. I'm curious to see how long he stays there. Is it going to be a situation where if he succeeds, is this kind of his second chapter of his career, and he like just turns UCF into something where they're super, super consistent, mm-hmm. one of the best in Group 5, or does he use that to springboard into another Power 5 job in the future? I think Travis Williams being a defensive coordinator is great.
Yep.
Because there's so many Auburn fans, you see them on Twitter, and again, with all the stuff going on with Harsin's staff being put together, there's a number of Auburn fans, and I see the vision with them, that would love to see Travis Williams be the first black head coach of Auburn football one day.
Sure.
And I think in order to get to that point somewhere in the future, he's got to continue to progress in his career, and that was going to probably happen away from Auburn University. Becoming a defensive coordinator is that next step. I think he's going to be great in that role. They're going to recruit their tails off down there. I'm very interested to see how his offensive coordinator, all that works out.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't think of a better fit. It's just really, really interesting how it all worked. All this is happening now. Malzahn would probably be sidelined in 2021 if Tennessee wouldn't have gotten Danny White, who would have gotten Josh Heupel, who would have opened up the UCF job. And heck, man, UCF's got a better head coach than Tennessee. I'll say it.
Yes,
Tennessee should have hired UCF's coach and UCF's current coach instead of their last coach.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I love that Travis Williams is defensive coordinator there now, because I think it makes it less of a reach for Auburn to eventually hire him to be a defensive coordinator.
Yep, and it also takes the sting out of it, Auburn fans, that he's not in Miami doing the same job he was here. Like, Brian Harsin wanted to bring his own staff in. He wanted to get his own guys, right? And a lot of people wanted Travis Williams to be a part of that staff. Didn't work out that way.
Right.
He went to Miami. I think it was going to sting seeing like, oh, man, dude having success as a position coach. Well, now he's going to UCF, and it's like, well, He got a promotion, you know.
You're right.
If that job would have came, like, say Travis Williams would have been retained as the linebackers coach at Auburn, inside linebackers coach at Auburn under Brian Harsin, and Gus still goes to UCF, you know, that first call he's going to be making is still going to be to Travis Williams. So you might still be in this position anyway.
You're right.
At least now you have your staff intact.
You're right. I think that's a great point. I haven't really thought about it from that angle. But I think Auburn's going to be looking for a new defensive coordinator within the next 2 seasons, just because I think –
If Mason succeeds, I think he's a head coach candidate.
Yeah, for sure. In the SEC or not, I think he is well-liked and well-respected enough throughout the industry, you know, throughout coaching circles, where I think he will get a call regardless of what the defense looks like at some point. So at that point, it's like, okay, you know, there's a few different options, you know, with folks on staff that Harsin really, really trusts. But if Travis Williams has a year or two of solid DC experience at UCF, that's a much easier phone call to make.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to see. I've always thought that Travis Williams would have been a fantastic head coach. I think he could have made that Dabo Swinney or PJ Fleck kind of jump, whereas I'm a position coach and now I'm a head coach, and he could have kind of skipped over coordinator. It's really hard to do that. So the fact that he is getting a coordinator run is going to help him out for the future of becoming a head coach one day. But yeah, I think he's got the perfect. He's got the perfect personality. He got the perfect work ethic. The connection he has to his players, you know, throughout the years, and I think it's going to be no different at UCF. Makes him a guy. I think it will one day be a head coach, and a lot of Auburn fans, I think, hope it happens at Auburn whenever it happens down the line. I know it's something that would be a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, I've got nothing but respect for Travis Williams for sure. Give us the rundown one more time of what folks can get at the Auburn Observer.
The story we talked about Nehemiah Pritchett and a lot of stats and numbers in there for him. Check that out. That was up on Monday at the site. Story breaking out all of Auburn's wide receivers up on Wednesday. The podcast, the Mailbag podcast, is already out there. We'll have another basketball story coming up. And then hopefully this weekend we can be writing about Auburn LSU, podcasting about that. Hopefully this weather will cooperate. And you know, some the people who are like really, really in trouble out there to the west of us can get the help they need, because that is a rough time. But yeah, auburnobserver.com, $6 a month, $60 a year gets you access to all that, and we have a podcast for free on the weekends.
That is Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. We'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.